CliffCentral.com.
Public holiday tomorrow. You know that, right? Tomorrow is a day off, so you can do what you want. And then Friday, I don't think a lot of people will be going to work. But if you are, good for you, especially if you're in essential services. But really, it's going to be a short week for many of us. Heritage Day is what we're celebrating tomorrow. Yeah.
So, Gareth, are you doing your normal show on this day? What do you do?
What, tomorrow? No, hell no.
So what will be
the best? Just say that so emphatically.
No, the best of Cliff.
I mean, I'm surprised you even ask that question because you know me and public holidays.
No, but that's when you used to work for somebody. Now you are the boss, so, you know, I thought you would. No. Your work ethic would change.
My work ethic is that we have been putting out a show every single day of lockdown. We didn't miss one show. I did work on May the 1st, which was a public holiday because it was our birthday. But the rest of the public holidays, I don't think are worth doing. You know, people's lifestyles change, their schedules change, and it's also good every now and then to just take a day off the show to kind of think about things and reevaluate and maybe move forward and come up with new ideas. So every now and then, it's a good idea to take a break, and that's what we're doing tomorrow.
In terms of lifestyle and people's patterns, are people mainly listening to the show live or recorded?
That's the funny thing, is that most people are listening to the podcasts, so about two-thirds of the audience. You want to hear about the audience? This is actually really interesting. Let me give you some stats.
Mostly females.
No, I'll tell you now. Actually, don't jump the gun, but I'll tell you this is quite interesting because there's a whole graph I've got for you.
Who was the first female to hear the show?
I don't know, but she's definitely got a medal. That I know that's true. So listen to this quickly. We are on Friday, but I won't be there. So it'll be Sia and Leanne and Bolelo. That's for Friday because I've decided to go away for the weekend. But tomorrow, no show. So you can listen to Blind History, though, which, by the way, Damon, it's about the Jews.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
Yeah, King David, King Solomon, ancient Israel. It's really interesting. So go and take a listen.
They killed us. We won. Let's eat.
Something like that.
Oh, okay.
Something like that. All right. So listen to this. We've got that newsletter, right? The Cliff Central newsletter, which obviously only goes to a fraction of our audience. But it's interesting because they've broken it down. So apparently we're about 42% female, about 53% male. This is obviously for the newsletter, but you could probably assume there would be similar if you extrapolated into the whole audience. So if you're listening to us now, you are probably 53% male and 42% female. And that leaves a little bit for people who are non-gender specific. Do you see that? That's how forward-thinking we are. Yeah, it's good, right? listen to this. This is really interesting. In South Africa, because we're not measuring internationally here, in South Africa, about 46% of our audience lives in Johannesburg, 36% in Pretoria, and 17% in Cape Town. Roughly.
Well.
Yeah. Do you know that 40.15% of our audience own a property, but 8% own two properties? Yes, yeah. And about 1.9% own three properties. That's some interesting stuff. 0.72% own at least four properties.
Excuse me? We should turn our newsletter into a mini Tinder.
That's right. Sia's trying to find a husband here. All right. And then directorship. This is interesting. Like 25.9%, so call it 26%, of our audience are actually directors or entrepreneurs who own their own businesses. And the rest is unknown. So there could be a lot more of those, but we haven't asked the question. So 74%, we don't actually know. But we know that about 26% of our audience are directors or entrepreneurs in their own businesses. Isn't that interesting?
But yet they still listen to us talk about Tan Mom and the Kardashians.
I know, because they're also human. See, who doesn't want to hear about Ellen's dealing with her uncomfortable stuff on the show and Damon's wife being shouted at? And this is interesting.
I thought I needed to do a JSE update now on the show.
No, but here's something cool. The age breakdown of our audience. So 20 to 39, that's the age from 20 to 39 is by far the majority. About 78% of our listeners are between the age of 20 and 39.
Okay.
That's quite a lot of people. That's impressive. And the rest, 22.25%, the majority of that is between 40 and 59. So we definitely, in that quarter, we kind of skew older, but that's really impressive. 20 to 39 makes up 78% of our audience. So there's some interesting information you didn't know about yourself. When you listen to this show, you fit into these categories. How cool is that?
Ah,
you learn something new every day.
Yeah. And that's just from our newsletter. So, it's about it's an idea of what might be happening in the
How do I
global
get
world.
this newsletter?
You just go to cliffcentral.com and you subscribe. What an excellent question.
So what do I click on?
Let me start. You know what? Do you want to do a walkthrough of this? I'm going to take
Step
you
by
through it.
step.
All right. So, Damon, if you go to cliffcentral.com, just type that into your browser. I know that for people who've already got this is probably boring, but you go to connect. You see at the top there's listen live shows, podcasts, latest GCS video, and then connect. Do you see connect?
Well, I don't want to do that. I'm scared I'll lose my
Okay,
Google
well,
Hangin.
if you go to connect on the tab at the top, then the second one down is get our newsletter. And then all you have to do is put in your
Okay.
email address and ta-da, you've got our newsletter. It's
I'll just
fantastic.
do this.
All right. Yeah. And you can get all the latest and you get put on our database for all kinds of events and things when we start doing those again. So look out for that.
Oh, yeah, I miss those.
You were talking about what's the story with coming going back to the studio? Are you planning to do that?
Yeah, we've got to eventually. I think just from the point of view of quality of sound and everything else, it's probably something to think about.
But the thing is, you got with guests and that they might, who people who like myself, for example, who really enjoy just sitting at home, how are you gonna convince them to come to the studio now?
No, we can still do that. We can still do all of the stuff we're doing now. So if people don't want to come in, we can still do this. But for the people who do want to go in, it might be a good idea to just get back to normal.
It's taught us new ways of doing things. Hey, but
Oh.
on the point of shows, we have a new episode of So What Now tonight.
Yes. See, this is the first 12 minutes of this hour of the show this morning has all been about promoting our newsletter and our TV show. This
And
is
it's on
ridiculous.
ENCA at 8:30 p.m., right?
Ah, look
That's
at you,
correct, Damon.
Damon.
Thank you. Very good.
Yeah.
So we've got.
Oh dear.
Who are?
Lost.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Now you're back, yes.
Okay,
Oh.
sorry. So we've got Toby Shapshak on the show this evening. He is obviously a tech whiz. He's been on Cliff Central many times. He even had his own show here for a while. We've got Riaz Mula, who's a very interesting guy. I went to San Francisco with him and a bunch of people about 3 years ago, and he's a very smart coder. He started a school where people can learn to code. They can send their kids there. You can learn to future-proof yourself, in effect. And then there's someone called Rabelang, who's she's an entrepreneur. She's also started her own online education academy. And between the three of them, we talk about what the possibilities are for South Africa's economy to use technology to grow again. So it's really interesting. We've also got Klina Mhlophe, who's the storyteller, and Themba Mabaso, the State Herald, because it's Heritage Day tomorrow.
And what's the feedback on this TV show?
Very good. The ratings are good. The ratings are actually excellent because they're paying me more if I get better ratings.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, can I talk about the elephant in the room?
What's
I don't know
that?
whether I got to what's happening with the beast. Somebody reported your one show to the BCCSA. What's happening with that?
Oh, really? How
Oh,
did you find
how
that
do you
out?
know that?
The David Icke show.
How did you find out about that?
Well, I found everything on Twitter. There
Oh,
was an
wow.
art,
It's
there was an
on,
art,
it's
there was
out
an
on
art,
Twitter?
there was an article on Twitter about it. Oh, so you didn't even know about it?
No.
Oh, that's funny.
No.
But you see, what happens is if someone complains about the
One person,
show,
just
yeah, if
one
someone,
person.
but this is like in radio, if someone complains, we usually only find out. And because this is on ENCA, they would have found out, not me.
And they didn't tell you, hey?
Well,
That's
they,
good. Protect your talent.
yeah.
Keep him shielded from
But
the drama.
I like the BCCSA. We've got to give them some work. They've had nothing to do since I left radio, so
Yeah,
it gives them a chance.
I'm trying to work out what the charges are. Something about disinformation, I think.
Oh,
So
really?
David Icke, the show disseminated disinformation, something like that. Yeah.
Fantastic.
But as I said on a comment on Twitter about it, I think I did, I can't remember. It's not really, I think the BCSA will throw it out because whatever crap David Icke said, you kind of like laughed. So your laughing was like mitigated his disinformation.
Listen,
that's my theory.
I'm an old hand at the BCCSA. They should know better. I've been practicing with them for what, 25 years? So we know each other well.
Yeah.
We know each other well. All right, Damon. So are you going to do anything in December this year, or are you just going to stay at home?
You know, we can't really go out that much. It's because we got our perfume business.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know.
Is December a good time for perfume sales?
Well, until the 23rd of December, yes.
Okay.
But then after that, it kind of dies out. We haven't made any plans. I don't like to go away, really. I don't really like to go away.
No, because I see why? People are trying, they're actively advertising, you know, local getaways and people saying that there's Airbnb rates that have been reduced in certain places. Lots of people planning to go away for just a weekend or two. So maybe people are planning. Maybe you're planning a holiday at the end of the year and you want to tell us about it. I'd be curious to know.
No, you know what? When you've got three dogs and one of them's diabetic that needs an injection every 12 hours, I'm very hesitant to leave the dog in the care of some house sitter or whatever. It's not a great idea. So, like Bernice wants to go away now. She wants all three of us to go away now, and I really, really don't want it. How's that going to work? How can we run the business? How can we run the business and the dogs? And it's impossible.
Well, Bernice wants what she wants, and she gets what she wants. So good luck.
No, well, she won't get it. No, it's not possible. I mean, you know, while you were giving those stats, I mean, she can't even take our child to the bus, man. She started harassing me. She started harassing me at 10:07. Is your show finished? She says to me, what time should I be here? And these have all been discussed. I told her everything. And now she's taking a photo of the bus to prove that the bus has arrived.
Okay, so that's good news.
I mean, the stress of it all. So I missed all your stats. All those stats, I missed all of it.
Well, here's Anushka. Anushka says, correct, I have three properties. Cliff Central listeners are not just from the streets.
But can I tell you something, Gareth? This owning of properties is not so glamorous and wonderful. Ooh, you wealthy. Ooh.
No, it's hell.
It's hell, Gareth.
Why did I say that?
I'll tell you why. I own a flat in Morningside that I rent out, right? I've had to have the geyser replaced. I've had to have pigeons chased out of the roof. I've had issues around the walls and paint peeling. And then you have to go and sort that out. So you think, well, I own this property and I'm getting income from it. But in the end, it's such a pain. All I want to do is sell it.
But also, like, for example, you don't make money straight away. You have to pay your bonds on these properties. The rental does not cover the bonds. And then there's a four-letter word called levy.
Yeah.
Not levy.
Yeah.
Levy.
Yeah.
I mean, you can pay a levy of over 3,000 rand a month.
Correct.
So you lose money for the first – sure. Yeah. You're not making – Bernice owns a little flat, made no money. That flat is costing money.
Well, here's Carol. Carol says, are you guys live because you don't check your WhatsApp regularly? Well, there's your answer, Carol. That's just come in. She sent that at 7:12 and it's now 7:20. I hope that's quick enough for you, Carol.
Sorry, Carol.
No, sorry. Here's Justice in Florida. Justice says, I always listen to you guys live. I work at home, so it feels like I'm on a normal work schedule. And I'm not late for events. I own one property. That's interesting stuff. You see, Justice, there we go. You're counted in that one property category. Very good.
That's sure.
Is that the Florida here? What?
Florida near Rodeport.
Florida and Rodeport.
Yeah, yeah. Because if he's listening to us live there, I'm like, that's quite a lot of determination to be up that early.
That late in America. All right. So, Sia, you wanted to say something and I interrupted you with Justice's message.
Oh, sorry. No, I was just going to add, then you get renters on my side and the rental company or the agent, between my landlord and I said, you are entitled to not touch a thing in that place. Mm-hmm. So even just replacing a light bulb should technically be covered by your landlord.
Yeah.
So I milk it for all it's worth. Look, I'm not annoying, but there's a little squeak now.
I think you are annoying about light bulbs.
I'll tell you something. I don't think that it's even worth, if I could go back now, I don't know that it's necessarily worth owning more than one property anyway, because, and even that one property, you could argue it's maybe better to rent for the reasons Sia's just detailed. Like, you don't have to fix things. You don't have to change things. You know, because that's all nice if you want to make a house your own, but it's also a pain in the backside because you've got to do constant maintenance. Damon, you know about this. You've always got to fix this door doesn't work. That needs to be repainted. There's always something to do. And I know it sounds like complaining and moaning, but people who don't own a property never have to worry about this shit. And there's something about that that's quite appealing.
It's a little selfish to ask then, but where would you have rather invested your money?
At this point, well, you know what? Revix are coming back in a couple of days. Maybe Sean Sanders can tell us.
Okay.
I think maybe a little bit of gold, maybe a little bit of stocks. I mean, certainly the American Stock Exchange, the stock market is doing very well at the moment. There have been one or two drops, like Tesla has been up and down a bit, but there's been some interesting movements there. And I think that to diversify is what they always tell you to do. Diversify your portfolio. So own a little bit of property, maybe the house that you live in, and, you know, maybe some commercial property is a better idea than residential. But you'll have to ask the experts. I'm not an expert.
Well, look, commercial also. I remember we covered that story a couple of months ago. In fact, just in Johannesburg and Pretoria, there's this massive decline in people actually renting commercial space out. And this was while we were still in studio, pre-lockdown. Imagine what lockdown has done now.
You're forgetting as well. Are we in a depression or
it's a proper recession.
We're in a proper recession. So we've got a little cottage on our property, and our tenant wants to move out. He wants to move down to Durban, and we advertised our cottage.
Yeah.
And very little interest. Very little interest. Eh? There's a statistic. I know this is an American statistic, but a huge percentage of youngsters, people between the age of 25 and 35. 50% of them are living with their parents who never lived with their parents again. It's some statistic like that. So a lot of people are doing that. So, you know, our little cottage, our main market is like your young single person doing working for the first time, first year out of varsity. Those kind of people are living with their parents.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Because I wonder if I would have left home if my parents were still around. You know, the only reason I had to move out of home was because my parents were moving back down to Durban. But I think if they were still in town, yeah, I probably would still be living at home.
Well, absolutely. You know what kind of savings you make there.
Yeah, knowing what I know now, I would have never thought that I'd be standing at in a shopping aisle debating what sort of detergent to buy because it's £3 cheaper.
You know, there are two arguments to this. The first one is that obviously eventually you have to grow up and move out of your parents' house, and you never really become an adult until you do. And if you want to be responsible for yourself, you have to also be responsible for the washing and the dishes and the cooking and all the things that being an adult means. But there's another argument that actually, if you can defer those things for as long as possible and save some money, you might be doing yourself a big favor in the long run. So who knows? I'm not going to judge because I don't have kids and I wouldn't want anyone living with me beyond their 20th birthday. But then it's not 20. My problem. Well, some people stay until their 30s. You heard what Damon just said now.
I stayed with my parents until the age of 36.
There we go.
I know that's a bit pathological, I suppose.
And you're such a well balanced individual.
Exactly.
I think there's something between the two. I'd say like 25.
Okay.
25 was a good
age. You're only saying that because you're 25, mate.
No, no. I think about a cousin of mine who I think has always had her head on quite straight. And she stayed home. She completed her degree. And then she's worked for 3 years. And had enough money. Her parents padded her a little to put down a deposit, but she had enough of her own money to put down a deposit somewhere. And I thought, actually, you never have to pay rent. And, you know, you have your life relatively well. You have the foundation of your life together at that age.
Right.
I think 25 is good innings. 21, you're still a mess.
Hmm. Yeah. No, no. I think that there's probably there's an argument for both sides of this. I wouldn't want a kid hanging around beyond the age of like 20, but then as I said, I'm not a parent. And also, if you personally feel comfortable living with your parents for that long, I mean, I don't know how relationships work. Mm. I don't know how sex works. I don't know how your money situation works. Like, do you pay rent even though you're staying with your parents? Who knows?
There's certain dynamics that just don't work. Already, I guess I was somewhat pushing it at 20, yeah, at 19 or 20. My parents would start ignoring me if I came home late at night. So they would, when they go to bed, they do everything that they do. So they used to set the alarm. They would switch off all the lights and they would go to bed and they'd hear me stumble home, and sometimes I'd be so drunk I wouldn't even be able to like open up the door properly or put the key in the hole. And they would hear all of that and like, nope, that's not our business. But there's something about being hungover in front of your parents as well that makes you go, nah, I need to.
I want to do this.
And I don't.
Here's Eddie. Eddie says, in Thai culture, it's the opposite. You should stay with your parents until you die. That's what they do.
Really?
Similarly, in the Indian culture, then, where you, as a man, you stay with your family and you grow your own family with your parents.
Well, Elaine says, I made the most terrible property investments in Dullstrom and Glenmore.
Oh.
Now is not the time to be long on property. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And then this is interesting. This is from Sergio. He says, hey, Gareth, I own some commercial properties in small towns outside of Joburg on the Far East Rand. Tenants out there are the best and they're loyal. The returns are great. Wow. Okay. See, you learned something new.
But he may have just got lucky.
Well, here's someone who's listening to us from their yacht in Cape Town. See, we do have rich people, super rich people in this audience. Chris says, and he sent a picture of his yacht, which looks extremely impressive. He says, listening to you live from our yacht in Cape Town, our road trip from KZN took 2 weeks through this amazing country, but now we're on our yacht. So, no, he didn't say that last part, but I think that's funny.
Yo, Chris, send us some mimosas.
I took an Uber the other day, and man, I am glad I do not listen to conventional radio anymore. Thank you, Cliff Central. Wow, okay. Here's Kogi. Kogi Naidu, he's in, or she's in Westville. Kogi, is it a, no, it's a she. Hi, Kogi. She says, I'm 66. I always listen to your show. Have been listening since you were on radio. Wow. Okay. That's very nice. And then, Pitleng says, where is my award? Because I am the first and only albino who's been listening live since day one, Damon. And I'm not surprised that those stats did not mention the percentage of albino listeners. How racist. That's from Pitleng. Pete Lang's always looking for trouble, so I'm not even going to take that seriously. That's beautiful. Oh, listen to this.
In charge of that.
This is really interesting. Ruth says, my boyfriend just said he's living with his mom again, and he stays with me. So that's mean.
That's not good at all.
No, I think he's joking.
I don't think he's a boyfriend anymore.
Yeah. Hey, here's Greg Walsh. How are you, Gregor?
Good morning, Gareth.
So Greg Walsh is a friend of mine, but he's also the CEO of G&G Productions, which is they're the guys who do Matric Rage, which is obviously the big party that all the Matrics go on at the end of the year. And this has been extremely successful for however many years now. It must be, what, 12 years, 13 years, Greg?
I think you were at the first one something more like 18 years ago.
Yeah, it's amazing. Congratulations on all that success. But obviously this year has been a complete – Jesus, this year has been a mess. So first of all, obviously lockdowns have screwed up anybody's ability to rustle up the kind of money that they might have before. But the second big problem here is that the school schedules have changed, the exam schedules have changed. Events themselves have been impacted very badly because you can only have X number of people in a room and you can only have this kind of concentration of people in one area. So how the hell has this affected your country, and what's the plan for Matric Rage? If you're in Matric this year, can you even have a party at the end of it?
So I think Matric itself has been interesting. There's a, you know, I think you spend your whole school career waiting for Matric to happen, and you sort of wish away some of the bits in between, because you know, when you get to Matric, you can walk on the lawn and the color of your blazer changes, mm-hmm. and you know, you get socials and you get a Matric dance and you get to play for the first team or be the, you know, the Victor Ladorum or the Duck student, or and all of that's sort of been wiped out. So
yeah, well, Damon never had any of those, but yes, for those of you who are overachievers like Greg, those are things that you look forward to. But the fact is, like, Matric is something to look forward to, and for Matric this year, it was just something to grin and grit your teeth and try and get through as best you could, because everything that's been thrown at the Matric of this year seems really unfair.
And the year's quite pivotal as well, because for many, they can't just rely on work from home academic success to get into a particular university or a particular faculty or a particular res hostel. Mm-hmm. They were relying on sports results, which they didn't get to participate in at all.
Good point.
So I guess that to start with, Matric's been weird, and I'm sure many are disappointed with the year that they've been tossed. Mm-hmm. But there'll be at least a little silver lining at the end of the year. We've been, you know, I think when the lockdown started, and we actually spoke 6 months ago, you know, we were looking into the future going, we have no idea, you know, is this going to be possible, or is, you know, I mean, what does this whole thing look like? I think as time's gone on, you know, no discredit to any virus, but I think it seems to be that some of the forecasts are a little over bearish, and things are looking a bit brighter than some people expected, and that's good news. So, and I think with this move now to lockdown level one, with events being permitted at 500 capacity outdoors, 250 indoors, or subject to 50% of the capacity of a particular venue, if its capacity is lower than those numbers, paves the way for Rage to happen very successfully. The primary purpose of Rage always being to go on holiday for a week with your friends. And that can still take place. You can go to the coast, you can have fun. We just have to innovate these kind of pockets of entertainment, trying to keep true to our brand and the experience that we've become renowned for, as you mentioned, but doing it in a way that's safe. And
well, let's just talk about what you've become famous for, because it really has become a monstrous operation. You guys you organize everything. You've got these passes which people buy. It includes transportation to and from events. It includes access to all of these incredible shows that you put on with international acts and all kinds of things. I mean, really, I was blown away when you told me what Rage has turned into. Because as you say, in the beginning when I was there and I was DJing or whatever. Yeah, it was like, well, you know, it was like a Matric holiday with a little bit of entertainment thrown in at one or two nightclubs or pubs or like holes in the wall. Now, it's these massive, I mean, certainly up to last year, these huge events, which I don't know how many people you must have had there last year, but the lighting, the sound, the food, the entertainment, it's just like first rate. It would compare with anywhere in the world and the best events on the planet.
Well, I think that's our problem. I mean, you and I attended last year Tomorrowland Winter, and I've spent the last 10 years going to Ibiza and to Europe and experiencing and absorbing all that happens overseas. We also brought that sensation show to South Africa, and all these things have, I almost want to say, pushed the event organizer ego a little bit and gone, okay, well, at a point, I think we started almost organizing Rage for our own entertainment, more so necessarily than what people were necessarily demanding of us, because we were seeing, well, this is what happens on a big international production scale. Mm-hmm. Well, how many sponsors can we pack in, and how many tickets can we sell, and how can we structure all that so that we can do that in South Africa with, you know, an environment where people would never normally pay a ticket price for that level of production and that level of international artist. Because international artists are also expensive. And as much as there was a time post Madiba and the World Cup when every international artist wanted to come here, Now they couldn't be really interested. They can rather do five shows over the same weekend in Europe. So to get them here to play once is an expensive and, you know, somewhat annoying undertaking for them.
So in some ways, this might have allowed you to reset, but you're going to have to do a different kind of event thanks to COVID.
Correct.
What kind of events are you planning?
I think, like you said, the big reset button is pushed, and I think it's been necessary for us to stop and evaluate and go, what is the purpose of what we're doing? What do we stand for? Why are we here? Why do we exist? And having kind of spent a lot of time now going, well, what would be possible that we could pull off at the end of this year? And does that meet our objective and our purpose? And, you know, the reason that the Matrix want to participate in what we do. And we started looking around. I take Mshlanga and Belito as the example, because don't forget there's also Plet Rage, there's Joburg Rage, and there's J-Bay Rage. But mm-hmm. Belito Rage is going first. The others have been shifted out to make way for the NSC exam paper. Belito Rage and Mshlanga Rage have been sort of kept based on the fact that around 85% of the attendees write the IEB paper and they'll be finished. So we went looking around.
Just so we know, the IEB finished their exams when, and when did the rest of the schools finish? Because I heard like they're going to finish just before Christmas.
Yes, yes. So I think how annoying. All of the IEB papers, let's say the major ones, the English, Afrikaans, Sciences, Maths, etc., are finished. I think the last papers are the 25th of November, and we start on the 27th. On the following Monday and Tuesday, there are one or two practical exams for things like visual arts. And we took the view, well, you don't really have to study for your practical. So I think there's one or two practical papers that happen afterwards. But yeah, we went looking around in Mshlanga and Belito, and we started finding venues we would never have looked for, because now we were looking for essentially big restaurants and trendy bars that had space to build sound and lighting rigs into them, rig our usual CO2 and indoor fireworks, but do it in a way that everyone could be almost partying like a bit of a nightclub table booth, where you all hang out at a table, you come together, you party with your friends, but the sound and lighting and experience is built over your head, essentially. And that was the kind of premise upon which we went looking for venues. And for the first time, we're going to be in really cool spaces that Rage has never been in before, just because we would go and look there and go, too small, doesn't work, back off to our enormous lawn farm inland in Belito, because, well, there we can have 7,000 people a night in four stages and all this infrastructure. But then I think about, okay, well, if you're staying in Mshlanga, to mission there 7 nights in a row, in as much as the Rage rides taxis are fun, it's an hour there, it's an hour back every time you want to go and have your party. So this is, personally, I think it's going to be a bit of a revolution, because you're going to have a choice of 7 or 8 venues, probably within walking distance of your accommodation, to go to every day. And for some of the artists, I think it's going to be tough work, because for the bigger DJs, they're going to have to play 4 or 5 shows in one afternoon, because that's the only way that, and I'm going to use Big DJ A, because we haven't announced the lineup yet, that's the only way everyone can see Big DJ A.
But let's be fair, I mean, these DJs also have been earning nothing during lockdown, so they'll be too happy to work. They'll be thrilled to actually have work to do and run from place to place and take whatever money you've got to give them, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think that is the case. And I think the South African DJs are really excited. The response from them has been overwhelming. They just can't wait.
Because they're in huge debt.
So they're stoked and they're happy. They're like, okay, the more exposure they can get, the more gigs they can play. You know, it's like almost a one-day fee to play 4 times in a day. The internationals are a big question mark, because, I mean, you know, who knows on which country's no-fly zone list we're going to be on for the next 3 months. So we're talking to some DJs out of Germany and Holland, because I think there's no problem with them traveling here. Mm-hmm. But again, to get them out here and tell them to play 4 shows in an afternoon, they're all wondering, you know, are we mad in the head?
But it's great that you're able to rescue.
You could play 4 shows in one day, Gareth.
Yeah, exactly, with that accent. So, all right. Basically, you're saying that if you have friends or family, or if you're in matric yourself, it's not a complete write-off. There's going to be stuff happening this year. That's very exciting. And Gregor, the events generally, the events industry generally, you guys were involved with SAFE. Tell me about that, because There was a lot of noise on social media about what SAFE is. And I remember the last time we spoke to you, you guys were helping to raise money to keep people employed, especially those people who do all the service jobs, the non-glamorous behind the scenes jobs that keeps the events industry running. How's all that going?
So that's also been quite an overwhelming undertaking. I think sometimes when the worst happens, you have to stop for a minute and go, this is not about me. Because as difficult as it is to be in a situation where you're having to restructure a business and you're highly stressed, mm-hmm. There's the old Jewish saying of paying it forward that, that community is quite good at. And we got together with Howler, the ticketing company and cashless providers, Anything Goes, who do Ultra Music Festival and a couple of other events, and ourselves, really, the Rage Group, and said, who's the worst affected by this and how can we help? And we immediately identified that it was the hourly wage workers in the events industry, of which there are tens and tens and tens of thousands. Security officers, cleaners, bar staff, bar backs, the guys that carry and clip the fencing together, or the temporary crew that get hired to shift the flight cases and move them so that the technicians can rig. So it was really those people that we identified as hardest hit because their income stopped all on one day. They didn't have another month of salary. It was like, right, no shows from today, no money for you. So we created that South African Fund for Entertainment, and it set out to do food parcels with Pick and Pay Feed the Nation. And then we hosted multiple events that would raise money and awareness for that. And I think in total, the fundraising was just over R1 million over the the last 6 months. And 5,500 families were fed for 1 month.
Can I come in? Sorry, Greg, it's Damon. How's it? Can I come in? Let's deal with reality. Let's deal with like a real life situation. Your cell phone rings, unknown number. It's Mrs. Labuschagne. Hello, my daughter Lorraine is going down to Plettenberg Bay with 8 of her friends. How can you guarantee their safety?
Damon muted himself.
No, you muted. You muted yourself, you moron.
Oh, sorry, it was going so well. It was so realistic. Right,
so we're with Mrs.
Labuschagne. How can you guarantee my daughter with her 8 friends are going to be safe from this plague?
Mrs. Labuschagne, is it not true that your daughter was actually with 47 friends last weekend on Saturday night at Mrs. Leibovitz's daughter's 18th birthday party? And as I understand it, they didn't wear masks at that particular gathering.
No, but Greg, it's your problem. It's your fault.
What is your mask? What is your mask policy?
So the mask policy right now is a moving target because we don't know what the 27th of November will be in terms of legislation. If I said to you that we were going to open our doors this Friday evening, the protocol would work as follows. You would don your mask to ride the Rage Ride shuttle. You would then ride the Rage Ride shuttle. You would arrive. You would keep your mask on. You would do access control. So we would have actually done a pre-screening digitally. The evening before, you would have got pinged, gone onto our app, you would have filled in, very much like when you fly at the moment. I haven't been in contact with the last 14 days with somebody with COVID and all those types of questions. I don't have any of the following symptoms. No. That will then grant you access. You'll ride the shuttle with your mask. You'll arrive with your mask. We'll check you in, scan you in. We'll do a temperature check. You'll then go and find a table with your friends. And once you're at the table, very much like when you arrive at a restaurant now, you can take your mask off. You can order whatever drinks and food and the DJs will be going and you can have a crazy time. And then if you want to go to the bar specifically or to the bathroom, you put your mask on.
I have an idea. Picture it. You make a whole lot of masks, like ones that become all luminous with the certain lights. Hey, you must do that.
Lighting.
You've got time. You must make lots of masks for people.
Yeah, exactly.
That'll be really cool.
He's got his hands full. Why don't you make the masks and then you can sell them at the events?
You can set up a stand.
Yeah.
And one more thing. You said there's a Jewish saying, you said something, and I never heard that saying.
Paying it forward.
Well, okay, Jewish. Maybe it isn't a Jewish saying, but all my Jewish friends were the ones telling me about it. So.
Okay. Are you sure they're Jewish?
Hey, don't give Greg trouble. His mother is Jewish. Therefore, he is.
But Damon is the king of all Jews.
He thinks he's the king of the Jews. He thinks he can decide for all Jews what isn't the Jewish name.
I know the expression.
Okay, King Calvary.
I want to finish off on your question there. We have a gut feeling on two dates, though, and our gut feelings thus far have been somewhat accurate. We think the 15th of October will be the next one last extension of the national state of disaster, and with it, some slight relaxing of certain restrictions on the events industry. A lot of the events industry, remember, are still completely closed. Having 500 doesn't help live entertainment, big concerts, music festivals, big, large exhibitions, large corporate meetings. It helps none of that. So we're anticipating, from what we hear from the various city JOC officials and Department of Arts and Culture, that there'll be a further relaxing on the 15th of October, assuming that the hospitals remain under control and the country's able to manage. And then there's a sort of level of confidence building that on the 15th of November, which will be the next date to choose whether or not to extend the national state of disaster, that it might possibly be excused from its duty. And with that, further restrictions eased. And there'll be some obviously restriction around major gatherings, but we may find that at that point, the whole mask policy, for example, has changed. So we're gonna be quite fluid with that.
Have you had to cut the fat? I tell a few people, listen, come back next year, kind of thing. You've been with me for 18 years, but you know we don't need that rig built this year. Have you had to do that,
Damon? The story is like it's like if you went to bed and had the worst nightmare you could ever have. That's how the story played out. The first 4 months of lockdown, we took a COVID loan from the bank. This business has never had debt in its 18 years since it started, and now we took our first ever debt to run operational, in other words, to pay salaries. We did have to unfortunately do a trim from 16 in Joburg and 11 in Cape Town. A total of 7 of our team had to say goodbye, and everybody else from our team really came to the party, took a half salary for a few months, and still kind of was on the calls every day. Obviously, we worked from home for the first period, and now they're coming back to work again because we're getting really busy. They still aren't back to a full salary, but they're giving it 100%. So, like, as a company, we've done our best. I think, you know, there was a stat that actually shocked me because we had to do a lot of data gathering for our lobbying government to open the events industry to say, look, how bad is it in the events industry? Well, here's some data. And of, I don't know how many, it was a couple of thousand companies that filled in the research document. Of the people that worked for those companies who were earning a salary in February payroll, 8% got anything in the August payroll.
Jesus.
So, and then within that 8%, some were getting a 20%, a 30%, a 50%. You know, some events companies have managed to do some innovative stuff online. Maybe they've made some money, but it's dire. So, you know, we did what we could. We did right by our team. You know, they've reciprocated and done right by the brand that they love and work for.
Well,
but no, it's been a nightmare.
I think the events businesses, hospitality, travel and tourism are the people who've probably suffered the worst in all of this because people just haven't been able to move around and get together in groups. So let's hope that changes and we can have normal social interaction. Otherwise, I can promise you, missing your matric dance and not going on matric rage is going to be the least of your problems. You're going to be socially completely lost. You're going to forget how to deal with people. And for, especially for young people, if you don't have contact with people your own age, and I mean proximity to people, it starts to affect your mental well-being. And I think that there's a lot of work for psychologists and therapists ahead in the months where people try to normalize their lives and try to get back to normal. And I don't think that's funny. I think it's a very serious problem that we've got to take very seriously.
I couldn't agree more. I see in Germany they've finally kind of put all school learners back to school 5 days a week and dropped the requirement to wear a mask completely from school and their sports activities, because I think they're realizing that there's a big social and psychological fallout that comes with taking social beings and telling them not to be social.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Gregor, good luck and well done. And congratulations on managing to pull through this difficult time and putting together some events, which I'm sure are going to be stellar, like everything that you do. So good luck to the Matrix, who are going to finish their exams shortly and then go and party up a storm.
What's the website so I can send my child away?
Ragefestival.com.
Ragefestival.com.
Your child is X.
I'm speaking in generality.
He's speaking on behalf of Mrs. Labashan.
We're going to make partying great again.
Make partying great again. Okay, I love it. Thanks, Greg.
Put that on the mask. Okay. We make parties great again.
Your mask
great
idea.
Great again and safe again.
Yeah, there we go. All right. Thanks, Gregor.
Very good.
Cheers. It's Greg Walsh. Thanks. G&G Productions, G&G, who've done Rage, who've done Sensation, who've done a number of events, and they really know the events industry inside out, upside down, in every possible way. They're trying to make it work for Matric for this year, and it sounds like they've got a hell of a plan. So, Damon, obviously, you know, you're past your partying years, but it's nothing
who
like...
Who says?
Oh,
you know
on.
What? You know what? I've got to admit this. I never had partying years. I never went to my matric dance. I hardly ever went to clubs.
You stayed with your parents until you were 35.
No, look, I think because I had an older brother.
Yeah.
So I used to go to his things. He would go to these dingy clubs in Yeovil, and I would go there.
Well, I never had a matric holiday.
What did you do? What?
I didn't go away at the end of matric with a bunch of friends, like Greg was saying now. So I kind of feel like I should have done that. There was a bit of a – I didn't do anything. I stayed at home. I didn't have a matric holiday.
Huh.
So maybe I missed out. Maybe I've got a bit of FOMO
there. Gareth, I think you've made up for it.
Yes, no, I think you know, I have.
Somehow. Good point.
Yeah.
I suppose I have.
Well, when I was in matric, that's when I was – really coming into my own, and I didn't care about what other people were doing or what was cool. Funnily enough, I went to a Rage event, and it was the first night, and was raining, so there was mud, and people were into it. Just like, in Durban. And once I saw that mud and I had picked out an outfit, I was looking very cool. I thought, nope, this is not for me, actually. Too loud.
And you went home.
I was like, nope, couldn't do it. No. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's very typically Sia.
I know. Then I hosted people at home. I did dinners rather.
Jared says, I was out of the house at 17 and I had to stay with my parents again for a month when I was 24. I could not wait to get the fuck out again.
Oh. Wow.
That's about right. Jared just like does not enjoy staying at home with his parents. And then this is from Carol. She says, I'm 60, Garrett. That market survey of the demographics isn't – Carol, you know, this is what makes –
Finish Carol's message.
Carol, it's not all about you, Carol.
Yeah, but this is – okay, so Carol says she's 60 and the market survey isn't accurate. Carol, I didn't say that everyone who listens to us is between 20 and 49. I said there are people 49 and up. You didn't – what do you – all right. Carol's the audience. Everybody else go home. Forget about it. It's all about Carol.
Don't be pissed at Carol.
Carol has – by the way, Carol's just taken over as Statistician General of South Africa, and she's going to do a terrific job. We can't wait. Math's obviously not her strong point, but there we go. Well done, Carol.
Carol, you matter.
Yes, Carol, it's all about you.
I didn't say that.
All right. So, Damon, you're planning anything for the long weekend?
Sure. You know, Gareth, as I alluded to earlier on this morning, I'm not getting things done. I got no plans. I lie down and watch TV. I've just discovered another new show. Just started. It's number one on Netflix in America. It's called Ratched. And it's
Leanne was talking about it on Monday.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I watched the first 2 seconds last night, and then I realized that I'm tired. I need to go to sleep. I'm gonna, you know, and you get stuck into these TV shows, and as a result, I think I'm a bad parent. I'm not spending enough time with my daughter. It's not healthy. It's not good.
Yeah, but these TV shows can be very addictive. There's so many that I've still got to watch. I still have to watch the that one, The Social Dilemma, that everyone's telling me is so good.
It's overrated. Mm-hmm. There's a show on Amazon Prime, The Boys. Have you heard of The Boys?
No.
Oh, no, it's on Apple.
No, well, I saw it on Amazon Prime. Oh, it is absolutely outstanding. It's like almost X. It's like X-Men. It's an X-Men type show. It's a series. It's just out of this world. Just
oh amazing. No, sorry, I was confusing it. I was confusing it with another. No,
there's just so many TV shows. It's just ridiculous.
All right, but your absolute recommendation is The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Well, you know what? I think I'm biased. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel has got a very strong Jewish theme.
Jewish.
So there's a lot of Jewish stuff in it. And,
okay, yeah.
And, but
you know, Damon, you said that embrace it. It's part of your culture.
But it's still a very popular show. If only Jews watched it, you would never have heard of it. So obviously it also appeals. Obviously it also appeals to non-Jews.
I do love it. All right, yeah. The real life Larry David, Damon Calvari.
What are your plans for this long weekend?
I'm going to Durban. I'm going to actually
head down there.
Hopefully the weather will be nice because it tends to get a little bit windy in September, but we'll see. Huh. It'll be nice to just get out of the house, you know?
Do you fly or drive?
I'm going to drive. I'm not going to fly. It's too the restrictions and the rules around the masks and the forms and the all that stuff I'm not interested in. So I'll drive. It's easier.
Have you seen my new dog?
Which is that the new dog?
This is Joey.
So now you Joey, like these, what are these things called again? Schnauzers.
Miniature Schnauzers. Now Joey's not strictly Cohen. So he's not a purebred miniature Schnauzer. But we still love him.
Yeah. Still cute.
Yeah, no, oh he just farted. Oh my god. He farts, and his particular brand of fart is so powerful, it is overwhelming. I mean,
he's definitely a Calvari.
He could be sitting 2 meters away from me, and it hits you. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I wish you could see this. So while Damon was talking to us, he's got his dog on his lap. Very cute dog, by the way. It's got very lovely coloring. And yes. the dog is sitting there and it's sort of looking around. And then Damon goes, oh, she just farted. And he puts the dog down and turns on talking.
Hits you like that mosquito in your nose.
Oh, no.
Well, what a day.
Full circle reference.
Yeah, we started this morning by hearing about the mosquito that flew up Damon's nose. And caused huge consternation, and we end off with his dog farting in his face. What a perfect Damon Calvari appearance on the show this morning.
Yeah, I know. It was a pleasure having me, eh?
It was a pleasure having you.
Yes, it was.
And a lot of people on the WhatsApp line saying that they always love it when you and I have an argument. So that's terrific. Do you want to hear one or two more messages before we go?
One thing about our argument, I just felt I made a call. I thought this argument is going too similar to the argument we had a month or two ago. So I thought, I mean, you can say repeat the hits, but yes. I thought, no, it'll be the same argument. So let's move on.
Loud and clear.
You think that was a good call?
Very good call. Carl says, leave Carol alone. We've got to at some point talk about Britney Spears because there's stuff going on there that someone told me.
Speculations.
Yeah. Someone told me that she has completely melted down, that she no longer has control of her finances. So let's please put that on the agenda.
She was in court trying to get rid of that curatorship that she's under with her father being in charge. That's what she was trying to do.
Here's Tato. Tato says, I went to Rage 2013. What a party. The Boys equals Superman with no morals. Brilliant show.
Brilliant show.
Would you agree with that, Damon?
Yeah. Well, that's just one character.
Okay, and you guys rock. And then social media documentaries overrated. They're agreeing with you. Damon is right. The Boys on Amazon Prime is really good. A must watch. Okay, cool.
Couldn't stop watching it.
So we got time for today. So tomorrow we are not on. Tomorrow's Heritage Day. Happy Heritage Day to everybody. We've got a brand new show on So What Now tonight on ENCA. Make sure you watch it. That's at 8:30, channel 403. And let us know what you think about it too by attaching the hashtag So What Now to any correspondence, and we'll make sure we get back to you. And then Friday morning, Sia and Bulelo and Leanne will be handling things. I'll be away back on Monday, bright and early, 6 o'clock. Have an excellent weekend. Thanks, Damon. Nice to see you.
Excellent.
And we'll
Thank
see you.
You
on Monday. CliffCentral.com.